Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. America, America, that's our subject today, and don't we celebrate it big time? I mean, we do all kinds of things. We have fireworks that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they burst the sky, and we stand there in awe and clapping our hands and shouting at the top of our voices and celebrating how wonderful it is to be in America, where the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today is, in fact, keeping America great. And so we have parades, don't we? And we decorate our trucks and we decorate our clothes. In fact, the children all get into it and with their paraphernalia too, and even our animals. Yeah, why? Because we're celebrating America. That's why. That's why. I mean, it doesn't matter. We get the whole family in. We get all our pets in, everybody. We have parades and we march down the streets and we fly the flag and we color the blues and we do everything possibly to celebrate this great United States of America. We have the old-fashioned fire trucks going and, in fact, of all sorts and all sizes, and we take it to the absolute extreme. Why do we do this? Why do we celebrate America so greatly? In fact, any old wreck of a truck will do. So that's our subject today is America. In fact, here's the question. Why do we rightfully celebrate America? In fact, we bring about prayers and wishes and we say, God bless America. And we sing our anthems and we sing at the top of our voices, and we have barbecues, and we gather in our backyards, and what a special day, this Day of Independence. But here's the question. Why do we rightfully celebrate America? That's our subject for the moment. And the answer is really quite simple. We celebrate America because America has promised freedom from oppression of every description. Take a look at with me the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate on July the 4th. And here's what it says. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, as in England, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, now watch this, the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. So what should we do? A decent respect to the opinions of mankind and the rest of the world requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And so this is what we have done. And so here's how it really begins. We wanted to tell the world in 1776, July the 2nd, it was passed, but celebrated on July the 4th. And we celebrated our disconnection from oppressive government and rulership that was taken over, limiting our freedom, destroying our creativity. So here's how the Declaration goes on in its explanation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are, now look at this, created equal. I mean, there's no one race above another, one gender above another. They're all created equal. Now watch this. And that they are endowed by their creator. Oh, that's the big deal right there, because this is where freedom comes from. They are endowed by, it doesn't come from the government, it comes from the Creator. Endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights that among these, and this is a short list, are life, liberty, that's the big one, and in fact, the pursuit of happiness. So America, from its very foundation, disconnected from oppressive government, decided as free men got together and wanted freedom, that God had endowed them with unalienable rights and the government should not interfere with them. And so what we discover is, in fact, this wonderful and amazing truth. And this is why we rightfully celebrate America. It's because the foundation for freedom was divinely provided. The Creator, remember, in fact, let's go back to the text, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by the Creator. And so the foundation for freedom was divinely appointed by God. Now, our founding fathers, 56 of them, signed the Declaration. And almost all of them were pastors or ministers and followers of Jesus, except some of the deists, a couple of them that are most often cited. But at the beginning, they decided on evidence that the settled principles of freedom were in Christ and the Bible. And so, now, it was free of denominational interference. There wasn't a denomination. But they settled the fact that freedom principles came from God, Jesus, God, and were emphasized, enunciated in the Bible. So here's a scripture. If the Son, referring to Jesus, if he makes you free, you shall be free. In fact, indeed, whoa, what a promise that is. Look at this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, look at this, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's why we say it comes from Christ and the Bible. And that's how this nation was founded. It's how we've done so well for these 240 plus years. And it's why we have rightfully celebrated America all this time. Now here comes a warning. The loss of liberty by departure from Christ. Take a solemn warning. So here's the scriptures. Stand fast in the what? That's the liberty. Wherewith Christ has made us free. Freedom, liberty, does not come from mankind. No government, no superior, except the one who is superior, God himself. Now watch. So the scripture says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He's the source of freedom. And watch this. Here's the warning. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do not go back to where you once were. Stand in the liberty. Keep liberty. That's why we celebrate America. Now, that scripture goes on to emphasize a couple of things. Let's take a look at it. For brothers and sisters, you have been called unto liberty. Whew. Now, watch this. Only, look at this now. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Liberty was the creative opportunity to love, not destroy. In fact, we're now facing a big issue. The narcissism, which is the fundamental departure. Let me talk about that for a moment. Narcissism is the fundamental departure from God's leadership. To what? To a word. Narcissism, by the way, has a word in the Bible that equals the same in ancient terms. It was called iniquity. It's what turned Lucifer, a good angel, into the devil. He was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found him. And what was that? He said, I will be exalted. I will be like the Most High God. I'm going to take over from God. Narcissism is when we act like we are God and we discard his leadership and everybody does what's right in their own eyes. That's the problem. And here's what's gone on. The narcissism of our culture has created fierce competition in which people are willing to harm each other in order to succeed. How tragic. What a warning. Imagine, in fact, I want you to see this really important sentence. If you don't remember anything else, get this one. Liberty is not the right to do wrong, but the power to do what's right. Liberty is not the right to do wrong, because if liberty uses its option to do wrong, it will lose its liberty. Liberty, freedom is not to do what you want to do, because if you do wrong with freedom, you will lose your freedom. It's like the train going down the tracks. It has to be on the tracks. If it wants to get off the tracks, it will lose its freedom. And so God has provided amazing, just and helpful and true guidelines to keep liberty. It is not the right to do wrong, but the power to do what is right. So watch this again now. You've been called unto liberty. That's the great America issue. Only don't use that liberty the wrong way. Don't use it for an occasion to do your own thing, or the occasion for the flesh, to do your narcissism thing. But instead, by love, serve one another. Because you see, the opposite to narcissism is love. Narcissism is dominating everybody and everything for your own personal benefit. However, love is caring about other people as well. So we've been called unto liberty, but don't miss the warning, the loss of liberty by departure from Christ. Because Nicholas now goes on to say, for the law, that is these laws of God that are so wonderful, are fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Whoa, this is big stuff. Now watch this, because here's the warning. If instead of loving your neighbor as yourself, we do otherwise, watch this now. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This is the big warning. The loss of liberty because we depart from the ways of God. If we bite and devour one another, we'll become consumed of one another. Now, when we talk about departing from Christ, we're talking about departing from the Bible. Remember, he said this, if you continue in my word, my instruction to you, then you're the true thing. You're my disciples indeed. Watch it now. And then, watch, you will know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Watch it now. Hidden out of sight. The symptoms are easy to see, but the motive. If we live love, if we follow Jesus Christ, if we follow the truth, you have to know the truth to live your life. Narcissism doesn't care about the truth. Narcissism does not care about right and wrong. In fact, the scripture says in one place, woe unto them, you're in big trouble. Woe unto them that put good for evil and evil for good. Narcissism has its own agenda. Does not take into consider right and wrong unless it might get caught doing wrong and pay a bad penalty, I suppose. But Jesus comes along and he says, hey, I'll show you the way. I am the way. You will never get lost. I am the truth. You'll never be confused. I am the life. You'll never be depressed. So Jesus comes to tell us the truth. And he says that if you know the truth shall make you free. Oh my goodness. So, listen to this quote by Noah Webster. all the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. When we get away from the truth, when we get away from the Bible, what do we get? Vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, war, and on go the human miseries. Webster said, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Can't be a good citizen if not a good Christian. Can't be a good Christian if not a good citizen. In fact, one of our heroes, Ronald Reagan, put it this way. He said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. So that becomes the question of our day. Are we still one nation under God? Now, the question would then become, well, who's going to determine whether we're one nation under God? And the answer to that is simple. It's we the people. And this is the difference between America and just about every country of the world. We're not, we are the government. Literally, we elect the leaders. We, the people, make our choice. And it's we, the people, that are going to decide whether or not we are, in fact, one nation under God or not. That's the question. It seems to me, and I'll ask you to adjudicate, because it's your opinion that really counts, that something drastic has happened in recent years. The turn away from God and the Bible to narcissism, where everybody does what's right in their own eyes, where there's no moral guideline, we just do what we want. So the question for today, for this moment, is simply this. How can we make America godly again? And why? Why should America be godly again? We once were. It lasted several hundred years. But the deterioration, the walk away from God, the walk away from Scripture, the laws of God, have left us in a condition that's questionable. The solution is to make America godly again. So that's our subject. Let's take a look at it. Now, here's a phenomenal, blatant statement from the Scriptures. Godliness is profitable. Look at, don't miss this word. It's profitable. Watch this now. Not just to some things, but to everything. Because godliness, godlikeness, which is scriptural likeness, godlikeness is in fact the basis of moral intelligence. If you don't know the difference between right and wrong, if you don't have moral intelligence, if you think wrong is really right and it's really okay, you will be off track forever. Don't miss this. Godliness is profitable to all things. It's going to make us morally intelligent, because from moral intelligence as a standard and as the base, as the foundation, now we can achieve a whole lot more. In fact, we'll avoid many a pitfall. You're going to see that. So what do we mean by godliness? That's really the question. So I hope you'll get this definition down pat. This is so critical that we get some precision here. Godliness is devout and observant to the laws of God which are right, just, holy, and true. I hope you'll say it with me. Godliness is devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true. That's what godliness is. And if we are devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true, then you know exactly the result is it's going to be profitable. Okay. Now let's go back to America. And let me see if I can summarize the present situation and the need to get America godly again. So here we are. Godliness, or the lack of godliness, the lack of being right, same thing, directly affects nations. Look at this scripture. Righteousness, doing what's right, exalts a nation. Whoa. It makes the nation prosperous, doing what's right. Now watch this, because it goes on to say, but sin is a reproach to any people whatsoever. In fact, here's the translation. God devotion makes a country strong. God avoidance leaves people weak. I don't want you to miss this fact. This America to be godly or not to be godly is the single big issue in America right now, beyond politics, beyond everything else, the economy, education, is whether going to be godly or not. That is what will determine the future. The lack of it will certainly be detrimental. Remember what it is, godliness. The devout and observant is to be devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right and just and holy and true. Oh my goodness. So important to get this straight. Now, so what we've covered so far is that godliness, or the lack of it, directly affects nations. Now, what you want to catch now is this, that the demise of nations is a self-inflicted situation. Check this verse out. Arise, O Lord, don't let men prevail. Let the heathen, those who reject God, be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that they, look at this, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That's it. They're not superpowers to rule everybody else. And that's kind of interesting because the word ends with the word Selah. The demise of nations is self-inflicted. Look at this. The heathen are sunk down in the pit. Now watch it now. But let's make sure you get this right. The heathen, is those are the God rejectors. They may be next door neighbors. They don't look like, they did not look like they're half naked and crazy out of their mind. They're just God rejected. That's what a heathen is. Now watch what happens. Because the heathen are sunk down in the pit. Now watch it. That they made. It's self-inflicted. Look at this now. They are sunk down in the net which they hid. It is in their own foot is taken in it. It is self-destructive. The demise of nations is self-inflicted because if the heathen take over, the whole country, the whole nation will be sunk down in a pit. And the net which they hid becomes a trap for themselves. Now let's go on. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. He knows how to adjudicate right and wrong. But watch it now. The wicked, that is those God rejectors, is snared in the work of his own hands. It's self-inflicted. Whoa, big trouble. Now, the extent of the demise of a nation can only be compared to hell. Here's why. Look at this now. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We once knew him. We followed him 200 years plus in America. But the God rejectors are going to be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Now, I want you not to miss this most pertinent truth. And it's this. This hell it's referring to is not a geographic location. It's not the place referred to in the interior of the earth somewhere. The wicked will turn themselves into hell. They will bring hell into their own lives. And nations that forget God will bring hell into their own lives. Look at the scripture again. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. They will bring hell into the nation. So here we go. Welcome to hell. What is hell like? What is the hell like that's made by a nation? So let me see if I can be brief about this. There's a devil, but he doesn't usually look like this. He comes, remember, the scripture says that he comes disguised as an angel of light. He looks like a good guy, but he's a bad devil. Yeah. And he haunts, and he taunts, and he has demons that manipulate people and try to figure out how to conquer, to overcome, to intrude. He's the father of narcissism. Remember, iniquity, narcissism. By the way, one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross was narcissism. Iniquity. We know that he was wounded for our transgressions. We got that straight. But he was bruised for our iniquities. And if you want to know what iniquity is, follow the verse. For all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to, here's a definition of iniquity, turn to his own way. I'm the boss now. I'll play God. I don't care what God says. I'm smarter. Have turned to his own way. Now, watch the rest of the verse. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity. What is the iniquity? The going of our own way. And so here's man. Selfish, egocentric, smug, following exactly the way the devil is. The culture gets, no, truth doesn't matter anymore. And manipulation of the media is going on in massive, massive destructive form. Fake news is everywhere. Propaganda. People aren't what they pretend to be. And here's the victim. They treat us, they're trying to manipulate us and control us like puppets on a string. No freedom there. And then we get, look, this is what hell is like. When we reject God, when a nation rejects God, these are the things that hell breaks out. Human trafficking, sexual harassment, stalking. Domestic violence takes place, and who can explain how terrible such a thing is? And then divorce. That's hell. Yeah, may not be hell for the man who aborts, who is absent without leave. The quitter. The deserter. But it really does hurt somebody. It is hell. And children are left caught between a dad and a mom who are at war with one another. Families that are cut, broken up, damaged. That's what hell is like. Betrayal. No truthfulness. The things we said at the altar are not meant anymore until death do us part. And we're betrayed, and all kinds of sexual perversions start to accumulate. They call it for adults only, and how the kids can hardly wait to get there and see what's going on. And so we watch, and they watch, and the pornography industry takes over, and little children even get to see it and shock and become perverted at such young ages, don't even know their gender anymore. That's what hell is like. That's what hell is like. Sexual addictions and all kinds of victim blaming, and everybody's blaming somebody else for the problem. And so people are damaging one another. The Me Too movement. So we keep it so disguised, and then it comes out. And then there's child abuse. That's what hell looks like. Child abuse. That's, you're looking at hell. You're looking at hell. You're seeing what happens when a people reject the laws of God, which are right and just and holy and true, and go their own way. And that's why we are where we are. So do you think America is still a nation under God? That's a good question. And now we kill over 60 million babies. Can't kill a turtle egg, destroy a turtle egg, you get $10,000 fine, 400 feet from where I live. But you can kill a baby. Government approval. I'll stop here for a moment. Here's what happened. In 1937, Hitler was able to convince the legal system that Jewish people were subhuman. They were not real humans. So they passed laws. And as a result of those laws, it became legal to kill the Jewish people without it being called murder. Because the law declared them not a person. In fact, if you go to the Nuremberg trials, out of the 25, I think it was, that were on trial, 23 of them pleaded the reason why we should not have to pay any consequences because we never broke the law. In 1963, in America, a court, just like Hitler, decided that the unborn child is not a human, so it can be killed without it being called murder. Really? You know a country is Christian by the way it treats women and by the way it treats children. That's determined how civil a country is. And so we kill them. We suck them out. We burn them. And life becomes filled with all kinds of uncertainty and depression everywhere. Mental disorders. And had we time to go into the... Oh, my gosh. And so much insanity. Then we have online predators. Oh. Big machinery, high technology being aligned and used to damage and control. To pit nations against nations. And in fact, to get inside your brain. And this is not a fiction. You see, it used to be that we carried our computers. Then we began to wear them. And now we're facing the day when we're going to embed them. It's already happening. Be very careful. When you can check out biologically at a counter, you are in deep trouble with God. Remember the mark in Revelation? Yep. It's the number of a man's name, and you'll be numbered. You check out, your number gets recorded. And it says in Revelation, the day will come when you cannot buy or sell without it. Big trouble. Big trouble is looming. And of course, there's all kinds of damage and war, pitted nation against nation. And oh, this is hell. War is hell. How do we get here? How do we get into so much hell? Because we brought it on ourselves. And now, whether it's in the space or in the skies or on the waters, and then we have all kinds of conspiracies that are really going on. National intrusion into one another's business, corruption taking place. This is hell breaking out all over the place. Hell is breaking out. Destruction and crime are on the rise. And what does this come? It comes from when we reject the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true, and go our own ways, and now we've got it. And we've got political repression. Oh, my. Oh, my. Not to mention COVID, its destructive force, and where is it coming from, and what's really going on? What's the real story? What's happening? What about identity politics? And on we could go. And so life is in a morass. Mental disturbances everywhere, uncertainty, complexity. And then there's self-harm. Self-destructive behaviors abound. I don't know when or what it will take for us to learn that there is no chemical cure for a moral problem. There's no chemical cure for a spiritual problem. And yet the harm that's taking place medically and with drugs, and not with drugs only, but the suicide rates are abounding all around us. People don't want to live anymore. No wonder, because they brought hell. We've brought hell into the country because the heathen, the wicked, are turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And so we go on hurting and damaging and killing and destroying. And we wonder how we got here. And we want to get rid of the defund. I wish I had time to talk about that one and tell you what the Bible says. I'll do it one of these days. The Bible precisely answers that question. And so people rally in destructive forces. Yep. Hell, fire happening all around us. Why is it? Why is it? Why is it? It's because the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that's where we are right now. The extent of the demise of a nation can only be compared to hell. Now, here's the problem. As the people go, so goes the nation's leaders. In other words, we can't just blame the leaders because we're the ones who put them there. Remember, we're a democracy, right? Or at least a republic. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Cannot survive. Oh, America, listen now. Oh, earth, hear the words of the Lord. As the people go, so go the nation's leaders. Look at what the scripture says. They eat up the sin. They love it, the sin of the people. And they, it's talking about leaders, as you're going to see in a moment, they set their heart on their narcissism. Mm-mm. Now, watch this, because this is actually referring to religious leaders. not just political, applies to political leaders too. Watch this now. Don't miss this. There shall be like people, like priest. You could also say like people, like government, like people, like senator, because we put them there. And in this, even in the religious context, you know what's happened to Christianity in America? Narcissism has taken over. Well, under God, we're not devout or observant to the laws of God. Laws which are true and right, just and holy. Now watch this. There shall be like people, like priests. That's the principle. Attitudes in a republic ours cascade upwards. Whatever the people want, that's what we give them. That's what narcissism, eh? That's why we have churches now that are built on. We'll do a market analysis. What do they want? That's what we'll give them. And God says, I will punish them for their ways, and I'll reward them for their doings. The prophets prophesy falsely. Now watch this. And the priests bear rule by their means. Now I'm going to change that to make application only. Same principle. The governors, the congressmen, the Supreme Court people, the prophets prophesy falsely and not doing the truth. And the priests bear rule by this untruth. Now watch this, because here's the kicker. And my people love to have it that way. We want, because we've mistaken freedom for the right to do wrong, and the people want it that way. We don't want principle, truth, just. We certainly don't want anything that's holy. Oh, my. Now, watch this now. My people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Like, how do you think it's really going to turn out? So we're in a situation right now, if America is going to survive, it must be made godly again. And corrupt legal and political leaders must be replaced. Check the scripture. When the righteous, people who are godly, who do what's right, just, holy, and true, when they are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. So the situation. We have, because we're the responsible parties here. I don't want you to miss this. When the righteous are in authority, the people, things are going right. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And that's why every department, the Senate, the Congress, the state governors, the legal system, and even the Supreme Court must be brought into check and be made godly again. Now, here's what's really surprising, is that the scriptures are going to go on and describe these legal and political leaders who are so corrupt, right? So let's see what the scripture says about them. They are not in trouble like other men. Wonder why? Because they have immunity. They have immunity. They are not in trouble as other men. They're in a category all by themselves. Neither are they plagued like other men. They don't have the baggage. Watch it now. Because of this, narcissism compasses him. Pride, that's what it is. It compasses him about like a chain. And violence covers them like a garment. They can do, they can kill, they can disband, they can sue, they can take you out violently. Why? Because they're not like other men. They have immunity. They're not plagued like other men. So pride compasses them. This is this thing called megalomania. Look it in the dictionary. Megalomania. What is that? Megalomania is the obsession for power in order to control people. The obsession for power in order to control people. Let's go back to the description of them. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than anybody could wish for. Pockets are lined. They are corrupt. Truth doesn't matter. They speak wickedly. And concerning those who aren't doing so well, the oppressed, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Whoa. No surprise there, is it? Because heaven would not let them away with what they're doing. So they are against God. They are against the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true. And they're because it would interfere with their narcissism. They set their mouth against the heavens. And they do that several ways. They help promote in the education system the no God fantasy. Or they'll profess to be godly, but they're really fake. Can now be the president, claim to be a Catholic, but kill babies, be in favor of it. So watch this now. They set their mouth against the heavens, or against God. They're against the laws of God, the ways of the Bible. The ways of Jesus. And their tongue walketh through the earth. I mean, they're yuck, 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 everywhere they go, promoting their false ideas. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They don't do so well. And here's what they say. Now, this is what the political corrupt people say. This is what corrupt legal people say. Ready? How does God know? Is there, look at this, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Do you think he really knows what's going on? Or do you think he even cares what's really going on? They have set themselves and the rulers of the world against God. They think he doesn't know. I've asked myself how this could be done. Every senator, every congressman, every judge needs somebody who loves them sufficiently to sit in front of them and say something like this. I appreciate that you fill this position, but I want you to know that one day you're going to stand before God Almighty and answer to him for every decision, every comment you've ever made. Are you ready for that? You see, this is not about putting political power on a leader. It's the vertical power, accountability to God. Because they say, how does God know? There's a scary verse in the Bible. Be sure your sin will find you out. Behold, these are the ungodly. And look at this. Who prosper in the world, follow the money trail, they increase in riches. So explain to me, if you would, how a person can be in office making even a good amount, $200,000-$300,000 a year, and come out 8 years later, multimillionaires. How's it happen? Because these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So what should we do about this? How can we make America godly again? So with this, I'm going to try and conclude. I hope you've been bearing with me, because we're talking about stuff here that's so vitally important. So the first thing we can do and should do and must do is we must appeal to God in prayer. We go to God, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. A once upon a time godly nation, now gone ungodly. Oh, do you know, in fact, I have a new book coming out not too long ago called You Are Our High Value Target. It's about what happens when good people become the targets. And they are, and they will be. And that's where we're heading unless something drastic happens in America and gets us back to God. So let's go back to this verse. Plead my cause against the ungodly nation and deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. Government, Congress, governors of every level, judges. Because God, we need you, for thou art our strength. Now that's going to go to a scripture you know so well. But most people only go to one verse here, and you can't get it on one verse. But here's the question. This is 5 and 17. Watch this now. If my people, that's Christians, people who call themselves Christians, look at the ones that are called by my name, the ones that call themselves Christians, shall, and all the five things we must do here, watch here. Number one, humble ourselves. Stop our narcissism. Stop our iniquity. Stop joining them. Humble ourselves. And number two, pray. Like, I mean, not 10-cent prayers looking for a $1 million answer. I'm talking about praying, crying out to God fervently, agonizing prayer. Better known in the scriptures as supplication. So number one, if my people will humble themselves, number two, pray, and if they'll seek my face, that's where we get guidance from, okay? And number four, and turn from their wicked ways. Wicked is the same root word as iniquity. Their narcissistic ways. If they'll turn from their narcissistic ways, look what will happen. I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. How, isn't that delightful? And look at this. And I will heal their land. Ooh. Now watch. Here's a translation. If my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves and praying and seeking my presence and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. And now watch this. And this is God speaking now. Because now, if we do those first four things, mine eyes shall be opened and my ears shall be attent to the prayer that is made in this place. In this place, America. If we do those four things, we get the attention of God. His eyes will look. We will capture his attention, and his ears will hear our prayers. A translation, from now on, I'm on alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. Okay. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. This is what we claimed in our founding fathers of America. That my name may be there forever. Yes, sir. God bless America. That my name shall be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. God wants to be in America like he once was. It begins when we pray. But that's not enough. The same passage which gets overlooked every time somebody quotes it, to my knowledge. We must also obey explicitly and implicitly. Now watch this. Because the same text goes on to say, as for thee, if you'll walk before me like David, your father walked, and if you'll do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. Remember what is godliness? Devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true. If you'll do all that I've commanded thee. So it's not just about prayer. We have to walk the walk. And if you'll observe my statutes, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom. It's going to affect the political system. And that, my friends, is why the scripture says this so clearly. If you live in my presence, as your father David lived, pure in heart and action, living the life I've set out for you, attentively obedient to my guidance and judgments, then I'll back your kingly rule. I'll back your government. I'll make it a sure thing. I'll make it a sure thing on a sure foundation. This is the way back to making America godly again. And with this, a warning. But if you turn away, if you forsake my statutes, this is to the church and my commandments, which I've set before you. And if you'll go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I've given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, these house of America, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. America becoming a byword among all nations, not what we want. And this house, this nation which is high, has been high, shall become an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? Why? Wanting the answer? Here it is. It shall be answered. Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, our founding fathers. They laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought evil upon them. That's why Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salt, henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down under the foot of men. We're supposed to be the light of the world. City, remember? America, the city on a hill that cannot be hid. So we should let our light so shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And this is the way to make America godly again. One closing comment about politics. Make sure you don't miss this. The church must take right ground in regards to politics. politics is a part of Christian religion in a country as this. And Christians must do their duty to their country as part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. I don't want you to ever forget. So I put it to the screen one more time. Godliness. Devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right, just, holy, and true. Because if America will go back to that and be godly again, America will prosper. You see, we can no longer ask God to bless America unless we're willing to do what God blesses. That's what's important. So this is our hope, that we will make America godly again. Make America, it's up to the we the people, make America godly again. Make America godly again. Make America godly again. How do you do that? By standing fast in the Word of God. Go by godliness, the devout and observant to the laws of God, which are right, just, true, and holy. And if we do that, we can make America godly again. And it's the greatest need we have right now. One closing comment. I want to say thank you to the veterans, for sure. In fact, we have a book, gift book for veterans. You can buy it on Amazon, Kindle, Audible, it's available, or our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. So, God bless you, and I hope you'll join us and help us to make America great again.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.